course she did," said Harry, throwing lumps of dragon liver into a large metal bowl and picking up his knife to cut some more. "She can't keep writing about what a tragic little hero I am. It'll get boring." "She wants a new angle, Hagrid," said Ron wisely as he shelled salamander eggs. "You were supposed to say Harry's a mad delinquent."
"But he's not,"
said Hagrid, looking genuinely shocked. "She should have interviewed Snape," said Harry grimly. "He'd give her the goods on me any day. Potter has been crossing lines ever since he first arrived at this school."
"Said that, did he?"
said Hagrid, while Ron and Hermione laughed.
"Well, you might have bent a few rules, Harry, but you're all right, really, aren't you?"
"Cheers, Hagrid," said Harry, grinning. "You come into this ball thing on Christmas Day, Hagrid," said Ron.
"Thought I might look in on it, yeah,"
said Hagrid gruffly.
"Should be a good do, I reckon. You'll be opening the dancing, won't you, Harry? Who are you taking?"
"No one yet," said Harry, feeling himself going red again. Hagrid didn't pursue the subject. The last week of term became increasingly boisterous as it progressed. Rumours about the Yule Ball were flying everywhere, though Harry didn't believe half of them. For instance, that Dumbledore had brought 800 barrels of mulled mead from Madame Rosmerta. It seemed to be fact, however, that he had booked the Weird Sisters. Exactly who or what the Weird Sisters were, Harry didn't know, never having had access to a wizard's wireless. But he deduced from the wild excitement of those who had grown up listening to the WWN, Wizarding Wireless Network, that they were a very famous musical group. Some of the teachers, like little Professor Flitwick, gave up trying to teach them much when their minds were so clearly elsewhere. He allowed them to play games in his lesson on Wednesday, and spent most of it talking to Harry about the perfect summoning charm Harry had used during the first task of the Tri-Wizard Tournament. Other teachers were not so generous. Nothing would ever deflect Professor Binns, for example, from ploughing on through his notes on goblin rebellions. As Binns hadn't let his own death stand in the way of continuing to teach, they supposed a small thing like Christmas wasn't going to put him off. It was amazing how he could make even bloody and vicious goblin riots sound as boring as Percy's cauldron bottom report. Professors McGonagall and Moody kept them working until the very last second of their classes, too. And Snape, of course, would no sooner let them play games in class than adopt Harry. Staring nastily around at them all, he informed them that he would be testing them on poison antidotes during the last lesson of the term.
"Evil he is!" Ron said bitterly that night in the Gryffindor common room. "Springing a test on us on the last day, ruining the last bit of term with a whole load of studying."
"You're not exactly straining yourself, though, are you?"
said Hermione, looking at him over the top of her potions notes. Ron was busy building a card castle out of his exploding snap pack, a much more interesting pastime than with muggle cards, because of the chance that the whole thing would blow up at any second.
"It's Christmas, Hermione," said Harry lazily. He was rereading Flying with the Cannons for the 10th time in an armchair near the fire.
Hermione looked severely over at him, too.
"I'd have thought you'd be doing something constructive, Harry, even if you don't want to learn your antidotes."
"Like what?" Harry said, as he watched Joey Jenkins of the Cannons belt a bludger toward a Ballycastle bat's chaser.
"That egg!" Hermione hissed.
"Come on, Hermione, I've got till February the 24th,
Harry said. He had put the golden egg upstairs in his trunk and hadn't opened it since the celebration party after the first task. There were still 2.5 months to go until he needed to know what all the screechy wailing meant, after all.
"But it might take weeks to work it out," said Hermione. "You're going to look a real idiot if everyone else knows what the next task is and you don't."
"Leave him alone, Hermione. He's earned a bit of a break," said Ron,
and he placed the last 2 cards on top of the castle, and the whole lot blew up, singeing his eyebrows.
"Nice look, Ron. Go well with your dress robes, that will."
It was Fred and George. They sat down at the table with Harry, Ron, and Hermione, as Ron felt how much damage had been done.
"Ron, can we borrow Pigwidgeon?"
George asked.
"No, he's off delivering a letter," said Ron.
"Why?"
"Because George wants to invite him to the ball," said Fred sarcastically. "'Because we want to send a letter, you stupid great prat,' said George. "'Who do you two keep writing to, eh?' said Ron. "'Nose out, Ron, or I'll burn that for you too,' said Fred, waving his wand threateningly. "'So, you lot got dates for the ball yet?'
"'Nope,' said Ron.
"'Well, you better hurry up, mate, or all the good ones will be gone,' said Fred. "'Who are you going with, then?' said Ron.
"'Angelina!' said Fred promptly, without a trace of embarrassment.
"'What?' said Ron, taken aback. "'You've already asked her?'
"'Good point,' said Fred. He turned his head and called across the common room. "'Oi, Angelina!'